transparent, to be vulnerable enough in front of other people. But Jesus modeled that horizontally with Peter, James, and John, and with the Heavenly Father.
When you're stressed and struggling, seek support from those around you and from God. More from Mylan at familyminute.org.
And good morning, and welcome once again. And we have a studio full. I'm Tom Davis, and we've got Mike Bailey here with the city manager with the town of Bartlesville, and it is City Talk. And Mike, we've got a whole cast of folks here with us today. Introduce them all, please.
We do. And in fact, we're one short right now. He'll be along shortly.
Yeah.
And it's Terry Lortson is our director of water utilities. He is the former engineering director for the city of Bartlesville and still involved with that as well. But he'll be joining us shortly. I gave him late notice, but don't feel free to make fun of him when he's late. He's rarely on time. Mm-hmm. Here he is right now, so feel free to applaud as he comes in because
Terry actually did make it. Just find a chair anywhere.
But Terry Lortson is here. I also have Jason Moniger. He is the city's treasurer and finance director. And then I have my esteemed golf pro here next to me, Mr. Jerry Benedict. So I'd never travel alone when I come to the radio. Nobody wants to listen to me for 30 minutes, so I bring interesting people with me.
Well, great. It's great to have everybody on board. And, Mike, first things first, we're talking dogs. Things haven't necessarily gone to the dogs, but it's about the dogs, right?
That's right. We just wanted to remind everybody that if you are on Pathfinder or if you are in a park, it is mandatory that you have your dog on a leash.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of issues with that, but there are some. And I think that those people who use Pathfinder that jog and run, that's probably one of the most common complaints that we have. And a lot of times the dogs are jogging or running with the owner, but they don't know that when they round the corner and they see an unleashed dog in the middle of the trail. So just remind everybody that it is required. Now, there is one small exception to that. In MJ Lee, near the dog park, there is sort of a little bit of a beta test going on, if you will. We have set up an area where dogs can swim in MJ Lee Lake, and it'll be in the northwest area, and it's that is the only area. Now, the dogs have to respond to voice command.
Mm-hmm.
If they do not, or if they're out of your control at any given time, then they have to be leashed, and they can't be off a leash anymore. And again, this is sort of a test. This was something that the park board wanted to try out. The dog park itself doesn't have a swimming area, so we thought we would provide this, and we will see how that goes. If it goes well, then we'll keep it. If it doesn't, then obviously we'll revisit it. But just one last time, if you're in a park outside of that one small area and you have a dog with you, it must be on a leash. Doesn't matter whether it's 5 pounds or 500 pounds. It needs to be leashed and under control at all times.
And now the Tower Center update. How are things moving along? It seems to be on pace.
The Tower Center is actually going well. And, in fact, now that I have Terry here, he wasn't going to join me this morning. As I said, he was a last-minute addition. I'll kind of let him give an update. But we've got city crews out there working. We've got a demolition crew that we've hired that's out there working. And then we've got a little bit of a grant update. So I'll let Terry talk about that real quick.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mike. We have construction officially started the last week of July on the improvements itself. So Whaling Construction was tabbed first, and he has the bid package to do the demolition earthwork. So he'll have another couple weeks left on those activities. And then once he finishes, then you'll really start to see activity with electricians, concrete, as well as probably some landscaping and irrigation start to go in. So once we finish with this initial phase of the project, then things will really start to move fairly quickly with the construction as far as activity goes there on site.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. You're ready to roll here.
Terry, we've had our city crews out there. We were doing some utility work in the area, and it actually, I was down there over the weekend. It looks like we've just about wrapped up our part of that as far as the installation on the storm drain, and from there we'll be moving to restore the parking lot.
Yeah, we have another day or two left on our work, which really is in the community center parking lot for a storm drain, and the street department is helping us do the pavement restoration. So we're hopeful here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, kind of contingent on weather, that we'll have everything buttoned up and the pavement restored and the community center parking lot kind of back in whole.
It'll be great. That was necessary, frankly, for us to have that done and out of the way in order to facilitate the the Tower Center. We didn't think it was a good idea to go in and build all of that and then tear it up a week later.
So yeah, that would have been
the order of events were important in this.
Yes, very much so.
And we also, the last thing on the Tower Center, the committee will be meeting, is it Wednesday, Terry?
Wednesday, yes.
Wednesday of this week. And that's the design committee for the Tower Green, or Tower Center, sorry. And I'm going to have to get used to saying that name, but the Tower Center. There is a design committee comprised of citizens and from around our community. And they will be meeting in particular this time. They'll be meeting because we've received notification of a rather substantial grant. We can't disclose too much information about it yet, but we did receive the $250,000 donation from Lyon Foundation. We received $60,000 from the Parsons Foundation, and we're expecting about a $100,000 notification here in the next day or so that we'll be able to release. But the committee is going to be examining that and prioritizing those things.
Yeah, that's really going to be the purpose of the meeting this Wednesday, is to really, we had to cut a number of things to get the project back in budget from the initial bids, and now with the generosity of the Lyon Foundation, the Parsons Foundation, and Arvest Bank, or the Arvest Foundation, we're able to add some components back into it. So with this recent notification, we'll be able to add additional items back into it. So we're going to have the committee prioritize what needs to go back in first. So that's really the main purpose of the meeting. And so if you have an interest in it, I would encourage you to attend. It's this Wednesday at noon at City Hall. Yep. Within the first floor conference room.
And of course, all of our meetings are open to the public. All of our committee meetings are, and the public is encouraged to attend. And thank you for mentioning Arvest. I had left them off of that list. I think they had donated $10,000 early on in the process. So this project has definitely drawn a significant amount of public interest. And in all the years I've been here, and Terry, you've been involved in more projects than I have, can you remember a time when we received this much in the way of donations for a public project like this?
No, not really anything close to it. It's been very encouraging, been a lot of support locally and financially through these various organizations.
So it really is indicative of how interested the public and our partner organizations are in this project. So we're very excited about it.
And now we head to the links, and we've got a very special guest here with us today. And this is really something to have Jerry Benedict in with us. How's the water hazards looking there?
Yeah, they're full, Tom. Yeah, and the water hazards are full, and the course is nice and green with all the rain and everything.
Beautiful and lush, isn't it,
yeah.
Jerry?
Yeah. We recently redid our bunkers, reconstructed our bunkers with some white crystal sand, mm-hmm. which really beautified the golf course. And Jody Shahan and his crew out there, the superintendent, are big responsible for the condition of the golf course. And I would just like to invite people out to take a look at the golf course. It's really in nice shape.
Nice green grass.
As far as the programs go, we just got through with our junior program, the very successful junior program. Actually, Terry Lawrence's son won one of the trophies.
Imagine that.
It's amazing what $5 can still buy.
It's a very important program, uh-huh. And I'd just like to say, those kids come out and they play and they work on their swings and they've really done a good job. And it's a deal that lasts them a lifetime. You know, you can play football, you can play basketball, you can play soccer, and it's good exercise and everything. But it's important for these kids to have a golf game as they grow up and get in business and stuff. A lot of nice deals are made on golf courses.
That's very true.
So I would like to just point out to you, out there, the people, to get their kids involved in the golf, and we'll help them get started. Doesn't take a big investment or anything.
Now, you and Terry have both seen me play golf, so I think both of you can testify that even if you don't have a golf game, you can survive.
I don't know how you did, but
Terry can testify. He's trying to be nice over there. This is unusual for you.
Jerry summed it up very nicely.
But also, we got coming up the legislative tournament, mm-hmm. which all the legislators are coming in. I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to try to straighten them out a little bit. They're costing me a lot of money lately, these beverage laws. But then we have a United Way after that,
yeah.
A United Way tournament, and almost $1 million is raised for the local United Way, which is the largest United Way golf tournament in the United States.
It is.
And it's really nice to have it here in Bartlesville.
It is incredibly well done.
Yeah.
That is a great tournament. If somebody's interested in playing in one of these, say the Legislative Tournament or the United Way Tournament, what's the easiest way to get in touch with somebody if they want to play in one of these tournaments?
Yeah, they need to call us at the golf course, I think, okay. If they're wanting to get in. We'll put them on the list and get them in. And a lot of times, there's a sponsor, for instance, that sponsors a whole team, and they need a player.
Right.
And we can get them in there for basically no charge. So that can happen sometimes. But we got some great programs out there. And, you know, I just, as of course, I'm the golf pro, the director, but I just like people to know how important Adams Golf Course is to the community, you know, because it keeps people here. It keeps people that are working here, living here, and not moving out of town somewhere else. It gets retired people. It keeps them here in town when they retire. And it's very important, in my opinion, to have a good public golf course here for that reason. And I know a lot of people that don't play golf don't realize the importance of the golf course. And it's a very important part of the community. All of the different organizations sponsor the golf course and recognize that, I don't think. Don't they, Mike?
Yes.
And
the golf course is interesting. It's a lot like having a golf course is a lot like having a swimming pool or anything else. It will never pay for itself through the user fees. We recover a lot of the expense through user fees,
yeah.
but it never actually will pay for itself. But it's just one of those quality of life issues. So when you have a Sooner pool, you have a Frontier pool. It's not even Frontier pool anymore, is it?
Yeah.
Frontier pool at Veterans Park now. But you know, we have those amenities, and they appeal to a certain group. We have the golf course that appeals to a certain group. We have disc golf that appeals to a different group. So
yeah.
We try to have a broad range of recreational opportunities. You know, even you can go beyond that, even to soccer, to baseball. Those are significant investments in public infrastructure that they don't pay for themselves. But again, it's a quality of life issue, and the citizens of Bartlesville have continued to support these quality of life improvements, and we're very grateful to them.
Yeah.
Our golf course is a testament to that. We have an amazing course, and the rain didn't help. Or the rain didn't hurt,
There weren't as many people playing in the rain, but it sure did make the golf course look nice.
Washed
a few days out, but other than that, it was really good. But those people that don't play golf, I'd like to invite you out. If you just want to take a golf cart and drive around and look at it, or if you want to get started, you don't need clubs, you don't need anything. We'll supply everything you need and try to get you started, and you can use our golf clubs. So come out and introduce yourself, and we'll show you around.
Great, great point. I think that would be awesome if people would come out and visit the golf course and just try it out. You've got a restaurant out there that serves a little bit of food, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, there went an ambulance screaming by. It kind of startled all of us. There is opportunity for people to come out and tour the facilities and maybe pick up a golf game or maybe just have a drink and hang out with some pretty interesting individuals.
That's great.
So
you bet.
Well, thank you, Pro. I appreciate you joining us here today.
You bet. Loved it.
All right. And I think next up we've got our finance director here, and he's got a little bit of information on sales tax.
Morning, boss.
Good morning.
It's not our best month as far as sales tax goes. Not bad. Was down just a little bit, 1.3%.
1.3.
Good thing is we were up 1.3% in July, so we're pretty much flat.
So the first 2 months out of the year, yeah. We're pretty much even.
I calculated our year-to-date. We're up 0.04% year-to-date. Of course, we budgeted what we collected last year, so that means we're pretty flat with last year's collections as well. So, and budget, we're sitting right par for the course.
Yeah,
This is about what we anticipated this year. We thought that we would have sort of flat returns on sales tax. Didn't expect a lot of growth. And we're just 2 months into the year.
It's so early to tell. I mean, you know, we have one good month, one bad month that can kind of set the tone for the rest of the year. But we've been pretty fortunate in the last couple of years not seeing anything, nothing large, nothing, you know, no huge spikes, no huge valleys.
How many months in a row did we have increases? I think it was up to, what, 14, maybe 15, something of that nature.
So looking back at my spreadsheet, we go back to April of 2018. That was our last decline.
Yeah, so we had 15 straight months of increases. So that was good news. And as you said, none of those were particularly dramatic. We didn't have any major increases or decreases, but we did have and we have had some pretty steady growth locally.
Pretty solid. Yeah.
So this is the first little stumbling block that we've had along the way. Hopefully it's just a one-off.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not a trend. You know, we're built to deal with that if it is a trend. But you know, we'd like to see positive growth.
That's true. But to your point, we built an organization that can deal with downturns.
Yes, sir.
That's part of the council's policy. That's part of the staff when we put together the budget. So talk for a minute about how we have planned to deal with any sort of unexpected downturns.
Well, several years ago when we saw a major economic downturn, council thought it would be prudent to set forth policy to where we put in a certain percentage of our operating budget every year in, for lack of a better term, like a rainy day fund. We call it a stabilization reserve fund. It's basically set aside till council views having such a dramatic impact on the budget that we need to utilize those funds to really make sure that the citizens don't see a decline in services they've become accustomed to seeing. Right now, currently, I think we have somewhere around 17-18% of our annual operating budget funded in there. I'm trying to get that up to, I believe, is it 35% is the high side of that?
Yes.
So every year we get a little closer to that, and knock on wood, we've yet to have to utilize any of those funds, but they are there and available if needed.
That's exactly it, and that's really been the goal. So several years ago, as you said, the council essentially passed a law, and it formalized a procedure for savings, just like you do at your house. You know, if you deposit part of your money in for retirement or something of that nature, we thought it would be prudent to do the same thing. So we've done that for a number of years now. I'm thinking it probably goes back 8-9 years is when it was implemented.
I was thinking somewhere in 2011, I think, when we instituted it.
So we've been at that for quite a while, and now we have a pretty significant savings in the event of a downturn.
Absolutely.
Now, you can't prepare for everything, but we do prepare our best for any sort of unexpected emergency. So we're in pretty good condition.
I think so. I believe so.
All right, Jason, anything else on sales tax or the budget?
Time of the year, it's pretty slow. I say slow. It's not slow, but as far as anything public-facing, there's not a whole lot of anything exciting coming from accounting and finance. some would ask, is there ever anything exciting?
I'm gonna tell you, I prefer accounting and finance to be pretty boring. When it gets exciting down there, it's usually not good.
It's bad.
There are rarely good surprises from accounting and finance.
What a job he's done with it. Transferring over the different programs.
With all of the implementation you talked a little bit about, there's nothing outward facing. Are we in year three yet of our software implementation program?
We're in year three as far as when we began
it.
We've finished up the first year of actually utilizing some of the software. It's different. It's new. It's challenging, but builds a lot of efficiency for the organization at the same time.
It does, and it laid the groundwork for us to later on install a customer portal that's coming. The first part of that will be rolled out with what Lisa Beeman's doing.
I believe in January is their target date. Good. Now, we know it's a target date, so
yes,
it's,
sir.
It's not
please don't mark it on your calendar yet. It's a software implementation. Yes. But that customer portal will allow customers to do a lot of the interactions that they do with the city. They'll still have the option to come up there and do them or over the phone or in person, as they always have, but it'll also provide an option for a lot of the business-related functions. So licenses, permits, zoning requests, yeah, things of that nature.
We're just trying to catch up with the times. You know, a lot of people, everything's so e-driven that people don't necessarily want to leave or come downtown. And we're trying to get to that point to where it can be like every other kind of transaction they have. They don't necessarily have to leave their house to do it.
It's what we're accustomed to. Yeah. There's an expectation that we'll be able to do that without leaving the house. So that is very exciting, and I know you led the charge on that. The first part of it was finance, which, again, most people didn't get to see unless you worked for the organization. Yeah. But that paved the way for all of the rest of these updates. And I suspect we'll be it'll be another 2 or 3 years before we wrap all of this up. We've got future phases to go.
Probably at least another 36 months until we're all said and done.
We've got some police and fire and court and utility billing, and I know I missed some things in there,
but
those are all in the future still. So, all right, well, I appreciate you taking the lead on that. I know that it happened at a time
couldn't have been a worse time.
We had a lot of transition going on, and you picked it up. Actually, it was supposed to be my project, so you've done a great job with it. So, well, Keith Henry was going to join us to talk a little bit about storm cleanup, but just so everybody knows, we are going around and picking up storm debris at the curbside. We do ask everybody to get that out to the curb. If it's not, it needs to be within the reach of the equipment. So we'll be doing some of it by hand. We'll be doing some of it with equipment to pick up. So need to get it out to the edge of the curb so that we'll be able to pick that up. Keith will be joining me next time, and he'll give a better update on that. The project will probably still be ongoing. We anticipate that it'll take 2-3 weeks to get all that wrapped up. It was pretty significant. It didn't appear to be at first when the storm first rolled through, but the more we drove around and looked, the more we realized how significant it was. It just wasn't in highly visible areas. It wasn't along the highways and our major streets. So anyway, that is going on. I called Terry in as a quick emergency when I found out that Keith couldn't make it today. So I thought that Terry could talk a little bit about, we've got a couple of major projects going on in water. One of them is our attempting to contract the Corps of Engineers for raw water. And Terry also has a very, very large project that he's currently planning with our wastewater treatment plant. So I know one of those is way off and one of them's pretty close. So maybe take them in that order.
Yeah. So we, just to refresh everybody's memory, back in 2018, the president approved a law, which is called the Water Resources Development Act of 2018, which in essence had some language in it specific for our circumstance, in that it provided us the favorable pricing that we've been seeking for 14 years at Copan Lake.
It's been quite a journey,
yes. So that was a major milestone for us, but that was just one step of many that we still have to do, and the next step, which we're currently taking, is to get the contract in place with the Corps of Engineers. So the way that we that really these arrangements are structured is that the Corps of Engineers is the contracting agency, and you lease the bucket, more or less, and whether there's water there or not. So right now, we're in the process of leasing some space at Copan Lake with the Corps of Engineers. They have several layers of reviews that they have to do from what they consider the local level, which is in Tulsa, down to their division, which is in Dallas, all the way up to headquarters, which is in Washington, D.C. So
ultimately, I believe it has to be approved by the Assistant Secretary of the Army.
That's correct. So right now, it's in the D.C. arena, so they are reviewing the contract language, and I've been told that's a couple weeks in process, and so hopefully we'll get that soon, and we'll be able to take that to council for an official action and secure the Copan water rights that we've been seeking for a long, long time.
And that, frankly, this wouldn't be possible without our local delegation. Senator Inhofe, I believe, was actually the author of the bill that mentioned, it didn't mention Bartlesville, but it really was built around us to allow us to do what we're doing today.
Yeah, Inhofe, all the representatives that Bartlesville has, from Markway, Mullen to currently Hearn.
Yep.
And Frank Lucas, even over there and kind of in the Osage County in that arena. So we really have had a very consistent support from not only our senators, but as well as the representatives at Washington, D.C., and really with Inhofe was a big champion of it. And without his support and persistence, it wouldn't have gone through.
It meant a lot to us here locally because we had been trying to move that boulder for, as you said, I think about 14 years. And frankly, without them, we wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, we have been lost in the abyss of Washington.
we felt like we had been lost in the abyss of Washington for 14 years.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So and so we have that ongoing with the Copan water rights and that source of water. Another source of water that we are pursuing, which is really a state regulated item, is water reuse. And so, again, this is taking treated wastewater from our plant and pumping it upstream on the Caney River and discharging it at a certain distance above our raw water intake at Johnstone Park. So Bartlesville originally was supplied by water through that intake structure. So if you go to Kitty Park, or you're familiar with Johnstone Park, it's kind of the blonde brick building that sits in the river. So that's our original water source. And so we still use that today, still run the pumps every day with it. And so that's another kind of contingency that we'll have for long-term water supply, is to do water reuse. So right now we are in the design part of that project. And so we should have that finished up by the end of this calendar year or beginning of next calendar year, and then proceed to construction probably mid-year. So really about a year and a half from now, 2 years from now, we should be ready to flip the switch and utilize that potential water source if that's ever needed or required because of a drought or some environmental circumstance that requires additional water than what Hula or potentially Copan could supply.
And that will... We treat how much water in any given day at the wastewater plant?
Well, during the winter months, it's around 5 million gallons a day. In the summer months, it's around 9 to 10.
And our usage, as far as what we actually treat on average, and I realize during the summer it's significantly higher, but during the winter, it's what, around 5?
It's around 5, 6,
about,
yeah.
Around 5 to 6.
Yeah.
So the reality is it could provide a majority of the water that we need simply through reuse.
Yeah.
So that was a great plan that has developed over time. I know you were a big part of it, and thank you for that, and appreciate all the work that you've done on it, because this is one that we can control. As we've discovered, it's much more difficult to get the water off the lakes because of bureaucracy that we have to deal with, but this was one that we could control. It required very limited permitting and licensing through the state of Oklahoma, so we were able to pursue it much more quickly than we had our 14-year journey to get to Copan Lake.
Yeah, this one only took us about a year and a half.
That's right.
To get to. So, but we have done a number of studies. I know when you talk initially, and I've talked to several groups and organizations about water reuse, and there's the kind of what I would call the ick factor as far as...
You can see it on their faces.
Yeah, you say, you're looking to do what? But we have done a number of studies in conjunction with the plan and the petition with the state to utilize this type of resource. And one of those is called the compounds of emerging concern type of study. So we're looking at all the trace compounds and elements that are in wastewater, ranging from pharmaceuticals, caffeine, things that are in the parts per trillion. So to kind of give you a reference of what that part per trillion would be like is like one tablespoon at Sooner Pool. So if you go to Sooner Pool, that's one tablespoon worth of concentration in that
pool
worth of a contaminant. But we wanted to, one, set a benchmark to see what we are currently drinking now through Hula Hudson Lake, what's in the river currently, and then, you know, what potential could there be if we implement water resource. And really what we're striving for is what kind of pre-treatment or treatment we need to do to really remove a lot of the risks that's associated with it. So we have a plan moving forward to implement some pre-treatment to address those items if we ever have to utilize water resource or water reuse. So we've really taken a pretty comprehensive approach to looking at, you know, the safety of the water first and foremost, and then, you know, the viability of that option. But there's a table of roughly 100 constituents that we tested for. So if people have any inkling to know what those are, we would be happy to share that with you. And I'll see about getting some of that posted online so people can not have to talk to anybody first before they look at it.
and Terry, most of these are not even regulated at this point in time.
Yeah.
So what we're doing truly is over and above what's mandatory.
Yeah, I think all of them but two are... not regulated.
Are not
so
regulated, yeah.
It's really as a contingency to know what's in our water and what the potential is there in the future.
So do appreciate your diligence and working on this project, and look forward to its implementation.
Yep.
All righty. Well, this has been City Talk, and I want to thank Mike Bailey and everyone for coming in today. And, you know, we've also had Terry and Jason, and we met Jerry with the golf course today. It's been great, and, of course, we do this every other Monday.
We do, and we always look forward to it.
Indeed. All right, stay tuned. We have CBS News coming up at the top of the hour, followed by some local news, and then it's off to Brian Kilmeade right here on K1 at AM 1400 and FM 93.3. K1, the one you trust. The time now is just about 20 seconds ahead of 10 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid presentation at 1400 K1. What does your auto insurance cover? Call Phoenix Insurance for a quote, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour. Real news, real reporting.
I'm Steve Kaif, and the word is out that in 2 months, immigrants who use federal services like Medicaid and